Hey, fuckers, what's going on? I am just starting to come down from my incredible birthday weekend. I want to thank everyone because I think literally everyone I've ever met in my life has reached out to me to wish me a happy, happy birthday at the advanced age of 13. Now that I'm 13, I do look forward to getting a driver's permit. I think that's going to be very exciting. I'm starting to save some money for my first car. Ah, yes, it's good to be 13. Luckily, dick and fart jokes are still really fucking funny. But I had, honestly, an excellent birthday weekend. I woke up on that morning and went and did a little shooting, whipped out the old KSG, pounded through a couple buckshot rounds, a couple dozen buckshot rounds. Oh, nothing like the old smoke pole to let it rip. You can just see all that black powder, gunpowder flying out the end, this big cloudy poof of death and destruction, slicing the paper into confetti-like shards. Pretty fucking amazing. And then Yogi and I went to the West Side Market, grabbed some pasta from the Ohio Pasta Company. Oh, fucking, their Alfredo is so amazing. And then we went to the piston-powered car show up at the IX Center here in Cleveland. And piston-powered is pretty sweet. It's just, it's a very unique show where there's just cars. There's just cars, trucks, classic cars, drag cars, race cars, rat rods, junkers, clunkers, you name it. It's pretty sweet. A little disappointed in the motorcycle turnout this year. There was only a couple dozen bikes there last year. I feel like there was more. But hey, every now and then it is fun to look at a funky, funky ride. Got Yogi drooling over a 71 Bronco. And I think, as always, my favorite is to find myself a 66 or 68 Chevelle. Although a 69 Camaro is still high, high, high up on my list of things that would fall in about 100th place behind 99 other motorcycles. But still, although the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am was there again, man, I could rock the shit out of that. It's so good. So good when it hits your lips. Oh, my goodness. So yeah, we came back and cooked a little pasta up, and there was a hockey game on, which they lost. But that's okay, because now my birthday present to myself was I purchased tickets to the Minnesota Wild versus the Pittsburgh Penguins at Pittsburgh. So Yogi and I will be having a little road trip here in a couple hours to go out and watch my Wild hopefully swing back into it and get the W tonight. That would make me super, super, super happy. I've never been to Pittsburgh before. Kind of looking forward to checking it out. Kind of looking forward to rocking and repping my Wild in the town of Pittsburgh. But being the lover of all things ice, I am excited to see Sidney Crosby skate. I mean, he undeniably one of the greatest to ever play the game, Sidney Crosby. So I'm just really hoping Foligno just tosses him through the fucking glass just because that would make me so happy. But still, I can say I saw Sidney Crosby skate. And I mean, in my generation, you know, I didn't see Gretzky play live. I watched him on TV. I think that, you know, you have to respect McJesus, Connor McDavid. I've seen him on several occasions when he came into Minnesota. And now I get to see Sidney Crosby. So I'm pretty excited about that. As long as I see Sidney Crosby lose, that'll make me really excited. I just ask for the little things. But today I want to talk about something. I got something on my mind that's been bugging me. And that is the difference between ignorance, stupidity. I think it's just kind of a fact of life that we're all impatient, right? And the way we react to people that make mistakes, it's interesting to me. So, ignorant, definition, lacking knowledge or awareness in general, uneducated or unsophisticated. Lacking knowledge or awareness in general, right? Is that a bad thing to be ignorant? No. None of us want to admit that we're ignorant, right? Because it sounds so bad. It's, oh, he's just ignorant. Well, it's not meant to be an insult. It is okay to be ignorant of things. To be stupid is having or showing a great lack of intelligence or common sense. Okay, so let's understand the difference between those two. So the reason that I'm bringing this up, it starts out with the gun range that I work at. And being an RSO is a really, really tough job, or a range safety officer, right? I've done it in the military quite a bit, and I'm starting to see that, when you work in the civilian side of the gun range, life is different because we don't use corporal education in the civilian world. In the military, when there were gun safety violations, you paid in pain for those violations. Either push-ups, flutter kicks, or turtle fucking, and when necessary, a little wall-to-wall counseling. Turtle fucking. For those of you that don't know what turtle fucking is, when you wear the Kevlar helmets, they'll smack you over the head with a Kevlar helmet on your Kevlar helmet. And because they're both green shells, they refer to it as turtle fucking, but it rings your bell. But it's a great way to get the attention of a shooter who's down in a foxhole or, a bunker when you can't like reach down and shake them. You just dump them across. These are range paddles too, which are like giant ping pong paddles made out of wood. We use those to signal the tower. We always paddle thump motherfuckers too to get their attention. Hey! And you can be so much more direct with ignorant soldiers. Listen, fuck nut. Hey, stud, come here, hero. Can't really do this in the civilian world, right? But then we've got this line of understanding ignorance and understanding stupidity. And then we have this other line. Okay, so I actually took the range safety officer, the NRA class, yesterday, and it confirmed my thoughts, which is the biggest part of gun safety is not knowledge, it's not skills, it's attitude. Safety is an attitude, and teaching is an attitude. And then determining ignorance or stupidity is an attitude, and it's a preconceived idea. When someone does something incorrectly at the range, you have to slow down and ask yourself, was it ignorant? Was it blatant stupidity? How should I react? And my answer, now I got two daughters, and shooting is a huge part of my life. Hunting, I mean, guns, gunfighting, all these things, culminated in my life with all my different experiences. But I want my daughters, well, and my son, of course, but it's so much easier as a father to teach your son the manly things in life because we have different expectations. But when I started this journey, and this is my asterisk here, I'm like, oh, I wasn't even worried about teaching my son. I teach my son the way I was taught, no problem. But when I started doing research on how to teach girls how to shoot, started watching some YouTube videos on it, women don't have ego like men do. And now I'm making broad generalizations. Go ahead. In general, women don't suffer from ego the way men do. Women are very open to learning. They are very good at taking instruction when they are learning something they don't know. Whereas men, oh, yeah, I know. If I had a nickel for every time someone has said to me, I know, and tried to overtalk me when I'm teaching, I'd have retired at 19. It's very frustrating. But the tone that people take when instructing firearms, they give it this level of seriousness, and they take the fun out of it. Oh, if you fuck up, you're gonna kill somebody. You know, you make one mistake out there, and we're all dead. You do this, and we're all, you know, you're gonna kill someone. So you walk into a shooting lane, and it's not fun. You're terrified that you're gonna make a mistake and kill someone. Now, another generalization, and this was taught to me by Ranger Will, and I can't disprove it in my limited amount of time of understanding what he taught me. Women overthink shooting, men over muscle shooting. So when we're trying to correct shooting errors, we actually want to help coach women to just shoot, to just pull the trigger. Just pull the trigger. And you know, the safety in you goes, oh my God, no. But don't worry, they're over-safing it so much in their head that you're just trying to break free some of the thoughts going on in there to just actually get them to act. And it kind of makes sense. Whereas guys over-muscle the gun. They're trying to prevent the recoil, and they over-muscle it. And you know, when you're gripping a gun, I think of it a lot like gripping a golf club. And there's different beliefs and attitudes here. And I will tell you that I am a successful shooter. I will not tell you that I am an amazing shooter or an accomplished shooter or a great shooter. I'm a competent shooter. So my belief in the grip is very much like holding a golf club, whereas you get that thought process of you were holding a bird in your hand, right? You don't want to squeeze the shit out of it, but you definitely want your grip tight enough that the bird can't escape. Because when we overflex, we start to shake. When we start to shake, we don't acquire our target, right? And there's so many pieces to shooting, okay? I'm not going to get into sight alignment, sight picture, breathing, your trigger squeeze, well, press, your trigger press. Thank you, Ranger Will, for correcting me on that. I will forever refer to it as the trigger press. But, you know, men, the main problem you find with men is breaking their ego and they're over-muscling their grip. Those are the two biggest problems, right? In general. And with women, their biggest problem is they're overthinking it. But what I learned in watching all these countless YouTube videos about teaching women to shoot from women shooters was making it calm, making it fun, removing the stigma of it's a dangerous thing. It doesn't have to be a dangerous thing. It is an inherently dangerous activity that we mitigate the dangers by introducing safety functions, redundancy. Yesterday was explained to me by Mr. Jim, the instructor I had, and Mr. Jim said it's a three-legged stool, and if you remove one of the legs, the stool doesn't work, right? And that was in reference to when you take an NRA course, you cannot carry a firearm loaded, unloaded, or otherwise into an NRA class, which of course I learned the hard way because, you know me, I'm always carrying. So, but if you remove one leg, which is, you know, the ammunition, you remove another leg, which is the gun, or you remove another leg, which is the shooter, the gun won't function, right? And then we have other safety redundancies in there. If we have the safety on, the gun should not fire. I can say will not because there are, you know, mechanical malfunctions are always a thing. But I went off on this tangent to talk about the difference between stupidity and ignorance, because range safeties, with all the things they have to deal with, people will come out and make an ignorant mistake. But we will treat them as if they are stupid. And the theory, the model, the concept behind the company that I work for is buy, learn, shoot, and we want to be the premier training center. Well, if you're in a training center, you have to train, not use verbal abuse and intimidation. And so I was frustrated with a couple of the range safeties because of the way they were reacting to situations. They were really getting aggressive with people when a simple nudge would do. One of the biggest things we have is when you go to a gun range, if you've been to a gun range, you have what's called a carrier. And the carrier is what you attach your target to. And in this day and age, most carriers are automated. So you have a little keypad up on the side of your stall and you punch in the distance you want your target to, and it spins down the lane and sets your target in place. And then you shoot your target, and then you hit the home button, and the target comes flying back to you, and you can look at your target and admire your handiwork or lack of handiwork. Well, if you can imagine, automated systems of any type are going to be expensive, right? And now we are firing projectiles at expensive mechanical stuff. Now, for the most part, they do a good job of ramping, meaning they put angled iron plates in front of the body of the carrier. So if a bullet strikes the carrier, it will not penetrate. It is encouraged to glance down and away from. But where the carrier has the clamp and hits the paper, those tend to get hit. Now, we have a rule where we have our silhouette style targets that are 3 foot by 6 foot, with a human outline, but the head is blocked off because the head is where it clamps onto, and our targets say right on them, no headshots, right? Well, it's because we don't want you to shoot our clamps. And if you do shoot our clamps, we are going to charge you $25. But it becomes this game. For the RSOs, like they want to catch you hitting the clamp. My attitude is I want to coach you prior to that. If I catch you shooting high on the target before you hit the carrier, I want to correct you and, remind you, like, hey, look, hitting that carrier, it's going to cost you $25, and I don't want that. I know you don't want that. So here, let's make some changes. So that you're hitting on, the lower two-thirds of this target. Whether that is a quick coaching section on your grip, your breathing, your stance, whatever I can quick deem your problem as being, or maybe I suggest you take another target and tape it to the bottom of the original target. So if you're missing high, you're still only missing high on the target, you're not missing high and hitting the carrier. But instead, these guys are just sitting there and they quick grab their radio. Range hit on lane 10. Range hit on lane 10. Because they want the guys running the rental store to quick throw it on their bail, and I'm just, slow your roll. Let's watch. Let's see what happened. And then they get up two, three, four carrier hits. I think one of the guys has a record of 27 hits in one time. Now, if you hit the carrier, I need to come talk to you and tell you, hey, look, you hit the carrier. But I think it's also up to me. Now, this is a client. This is a customer that has purchased range time and chose to shoot at our facility. So let's come in and see what caused them to hit the carrier. One, they have no idea what they're doing. Two, their sights are incredibly off. Three, they're rapid firing and their rounds are going up. Four, they don't give a shit. Five, they really don't give a shit. Let's see what the situation is. Because if the situation is the gun's out of sight, they have no idea what they're doing, this is a coachable session for me. So now I sell them a half-hour coaching session with one of our RSO instructors, right? So now I'm making money for the company. I'm making them a better shooter. Everything's going right. So instead of having a range hit for $25, I can sell them a coaching session for $25, which is going to probably negate any future hits. If they're rapid firing, look, I'm going to reel you in. Look, I don't, you can't rapid fire on a range. You are allowed to do controlled pairs, but you should always start doing controlled pairs. This is something Ranger Will taught me, and I'm like forever grateful, right? Because I go buy the silhouette target and then I just try to blow the center out of the silhouette target, right? He took me out and he's no, turn the, come here, turn the thing around. And he grabbed, we have rolls of masking tape in every stall for taping targets. And he pulls out a Sharpie, grabs the marking, the masking tape, and makes 3 3-inch circles across the bottom of my target, 3 3-inch circles across the middle of the bottom two-thirds of my target, and then 3 3-inch circles across the top of the bottom two-thirds of my target. He says, all right, here's the deal. I want you to load 2 rounds at a time. He said, and I want you to put both those rounds in these 3-inch circles at 10 feet. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so I was like, tap. First one, it's just dead center of the circle. Tap. Second one goes just a little bit right of the circle. This is what happened. Like, I don't know. He's like, we should know. You pulled. You pulled your shot. I'm like, ah. Oh. And so then he coached me for the next 10 minutes on everything I was doing wrong. And, like, I'm a good shooter. And now my misses compared to your average shooter's misses, you know, I'm aim small, miss small. I miss small, right? But I'm still missing. I'm still missing. And I got Ranger Will over here, like, reinstituting the press mentality, making me rethink the press, right? And I think I talked about this in my last podcast, you know, where he had me pull to the wall, take a deep breath, and say press, right? And that was great coaching. But these are the things that make us better shooters. And instead of just going, fuck, you're stupid, he went, hold on. You don't understand this concept. Let me teach you a new concept, right? And I, with a lot of help of therapy and you know, some interpersonal communication classes, have learned to check my own ego. And man, it's hard with shooting, right? Because I can shoot. I know I can shoot. So when you tell me you're going to teach me how to shoot, my instant reaction is, okay, right. Well, I tell you, Ranger Will taught me how to shoot all over again. And he gave me a new way to challenge myself with the small circles. I'm trying to get multiple. So now I'm doing 5 rounds in a 3-inch circle. That is my new goal. And I'm really evaluating when they're not all within a 50-cent piece, why aren't they within a 50-cent piece? What am I changing? And that's the nice thing about having the 5 rounds, because I have to stop and reload, and then I have time to think about, all right, so what happened there? Do I remember anything feeling different, right? So removing ignorance is so simple to do, but there's no reason to get angry about ignorance. We need to get angry about stupidity, right? But if we can help ignorant people, and I mean, this applies to everything in life, right? It's okay to be ignorant. We all don't know everything. Wouldn't it be awesome if we did? If we were just experts on every facet of life, every facet of science, every facet of everything? No. How many times in your life have you went, wow, I didn't know that? You know, in fact, here's my lesson or my challenge to you guys, right? Figure out how often you can say that in one day. Push yourself into situations where you're going to learn to say, huh, I didn't know that. Strive to learn. Don't get stagnant. And be comfortable being ignorant, right? It is awesome to learn. And I think we forget that. And I'm not saying, like, go figure out trigonometry. No. But just be open-minded enough to listen to the things people have to teach you. I have been taught things by people I didn't think could do anything for me, simply because I shut my mouth and I listened. And sometimes people will teach you things where you're just going to be like, ah, it's nice. And you know for a fact that everything they're telling you is inflated bullshit and you're never going to do it again. but check your ego long enough to truly listen. Give them the opportunity to share their information. Doesn't mean you got to accept it, but we also don't have a responsibility to refute it. That's another piece of that ego thing, where we get so wrapped up in arguing. Oh, no, you're wrong. Oh, you're an idiot. Oh, you're a... Sometimes it's just nice to be like, oh, cool, and let them live in their little fantasy world. Because what does it cost us personally for someone else to be wrong? We got to pick our battles, because this is where the stress comes, right? And I'm just seeing this on such a small scale that I'm really focusing into this concept. My challenge to the RSOs where I'm working is recognize the difference between stupidity and ignorance. Let's work on ignorance where we can. And then let's drop the hammer on stupidity. Cool. One of my favorite argumentative topics is gun control. And the thing that blows my mind is when I watch mainstream media talk about firearms, weapons, guns, whatever you want to call them, right? And when they describe them incorrectly, and when they talk about the dangers of certain things versus the dangers of others, that fires me up, right? That gets me wanting to debate. But again, we don't have to scream, you're an idiot. We can simply say, huh, have you ever fired a firearm? Huh. Ranger Will was talking about this yesterday. His favorite thing in the world is for someone to come in that doesn't like guns and to be scared of them and to work with him for 25 minutes. He said, because I will sell them a membership and they will buy a gun that day every time. Every time, he says. And I believe him. I believe him because he makes it fun. He takes away a lot of the ignorance and you begin to understand that it's safe. There's so many memes out there that we laugh at, but they're so true. Do we blame the car when the drunk driver kills someone? Do we blame the fork when someone becomes obese? Firearm is simply a tool. Firearm is simply a tool, and that's one that I like to debate. That's one that I will dust off the old mitts and get going with you. And I'm not going to scrap, but I will use facts to back up the statements that I make and to refute incorrect statements that you make. I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to do it so that I win. I'm going to do it so that you are left stammering, right? I'm not, my goal isn't to win and to prove you whatever, but when you try to convince me of something that I am factually proving to you is incorrect, that brings me pleasure. I'm not saying I'm changing your mind. I just know in my mind that everything you've said, you're now questioning. And that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. But on every other argument of the day, I just tend to hold back because it's not worth my energy. I get people that are just out of shape about gas prices. Oh my God, this is just ridiculous. This is horrible. I agree. It is. But I also have to put gas in my truck and go to work. I drive my dad nuts all the time, or you know, he drives me nuts. However you want to look at it, because he's always, oh yeah, I just drove past Shell downtown and it was $3.22 a gallon. And in my internal monologue, because I'm not going to bait him into it, I go, is that good? Because I don't look at gas prices. I run Shell gas because someone scientifically proved to me at one point in my life that Shell gas was the cleanest, most efficient burning gas on the market. And they also sell the non-oxygenated, 104 that I burn, the nitro, vitro, whatever. I run up my motorcycle all the time. Now, here's my argument. I have never had to replace a fuel pump on a vehicle that I have driven since using Shell gas. Is that a solid argument? Probably not, but it works for me. So I look for Shell stations. I use Shell gas. I also have a Shell rewards card that is tied into my T-Mobile. So I get 10 cents off a gallon when I fill up. Doesn't really matter to me because I don't know what the price is anyway. Because guess what? I need gas. I have to go to work. That's how it works. I need gas in the motorcycle because I'm going to go drive around in circles. I don't really care how much. If you have to, you know, like worry about budgeting fuel costs, then yes, do all those things. But also factor in a fuel pump because when you're just burning, you know, I run mid-grade. I don't know that mid-grade is the absolute answer, and I'm sure there's someone that's more intelligent than I am that will come out and refute me and tell you that there's no benefit to it. Ah, cool. But again, I have not had to replace a fuel pump. I have lots of friends that have replaced fuel pumps. I'm just throwing that out there. Never had to replace a fuel pump in a vehicle burning mid-grade Shell fuel. Works for me. And again, is it important to me to prove that theory to anybody? Nope. Does it make people mad when I say it? Yep. Are they smarter than I am? Maybe. They probably got some very, a lot of research and study in their arguments. My logic is so simple to me, but it works for me. Never had to replace a fuel pump. I call that good. Who knows? Ignorance versus stupidity. And where do we put our energy? Where do we put our... We spend so much energy when we get riled up. We let people live in our brains. We let people, you know, just cruise around rent-free for a while because of things they said or did, right? The joy in life is letting shit go. Letting shit go. Understanding that we can only control ourselves. We can only control the way we react to situations. We can't control how other people act. We can't control what other people do. All we can do is control how we react to that. And when we really dig in and work on that, it sets us free. Because, man, I tell you, I'm in a good place with my temper right now. And it's kind of amazing to watch the difference when you look back at it. I haven't had a road rage incident. I haven't. I mean, I still, you know, like that guy that'll walk in front of me somewhere. I still think, oh my God, I'd like to choke slam you. But it's a fleeting thought now. Oh, I'd like to choke slam that guy. And I just move on to the next thing. Whereas before, I would obsess over it. You know, motherfucker. And then I'd follow him around and try to get him to make eye contact. Yeah, yeah. I want that eye contact. Yeah. Oh, because now you're threatening me because you're staring me down. Yep, now I'm right. Now I'm right. Right? No. Toodaloo, motherfucker. Let it go. Let that shit go and understand that some people are ignorant. And accept that some people are fucking stupid. But also accept that none of them should be driving your emotions because you control your emotions. We control our own emotions. So hang on to that. Hang on to that. Then go kick some tires and light some motherfucking fires. Go really fast and don't die. And remember, safety third.